I appreciate your prayer tonight and today. I like to preach positive messages, messages that are encouraging, messages of showing the way to Christ. Tonight the Lord has given me a rather negative message, if I may say it that way. And there's a part of me that tonight I would rather not preach what the Lord has laid on my heart. I would rather preach something else. Tonight I'd like to look at hell, a literal place. Why should we preach a message on hell? Why should we look at this subject? Probably all of us have some kind of, maybe not all of us, some of us here probably have some kind of experience with death. Maybe at one point we were close or beside someone when they passed from this life into the next. I have one experience that I remember. We were on the way to church. I was to preach that evening. It was actually Winter Bible School message. I was supposed to preach at our home church there. We're pulling up this intersection. I've seen this thing on the road. Oh, what is laying on the road? We got close. I realized it was a motorcycle and a man underneath it. But I stopped back far enough so the family wouldn't see, and I walked up, and there he was, and it appeared that he was dead. He was gone. And, of course, none of that is what happened. He was gone. I called 911, and, you know, and... But you know, right at that moment, someone passed from this life unto the next. And I don't know him, and I don't know if he was ready to die or not. I don't know if the angels carried him into the bosom of the Father and into the bosom of Christ or wherever it was, if the angels carried him or if he sunk down into hell forever. Forever lost, never have an opportunity again to receive Christ. And I don't even know what opportunities he had in this life. But he was gone. The Bible has so much to say about this place. And tonight I can hardly wrap my mind around what the Bible tells us this place is going to be like. I can hardly explain to you what it appears to what the Bible is appearing to say. And the challenge that is in my life is that there are many people. We believe the Word of God is true. And if that is the case, there are many people going to spend eternity in this place. And it is possible that there could be someone here tonight that would spend eternity in hell. Tonight we need to preach on hell because I don't want anyone here. I don't want anyone here to go to that place. There is no reason. We are still in the day of grace. There is no reason that anyone here should spend eternity in hell in this place. We are here in the day of grace, the day of opportunity. Someday that door will be closed for me, for you, and for all mankind. Why preach on hell? I must understand the consequences of selfish and carnal choices that lead me away from God. Sometimes we allow the attractions of this world, the things that are fun to do, to allure us and to attract us and to draw us away from Christ. We allow friends, we allow influences to maybe pull us into something we know we should not do. And oh, if in that circumstance we could only know that there's a day coming that I will give an account for what I'm doing. I will give an account for what I'm doing in life and how I'm living my life. I must understand the consequences of hypocrisy and hidden sin. If I'm living in sin, if I'm living a hypocritical life, tonight I just want us to understand that the Bible says I will go to hell. And I will be there through all eternity. We must preach on hell because I do not believe I can appreciate my salvation unless I understand what I've been saved from. We must look at hell because I must continue to have a burden for souls that are headed to hell, headed for eternal destruction. Probably some of us, we talk with people today that unless they turn around, we'll end up in hell. And I tremble, you know, as I work with, I meet a lot of people and customers and talking with them. And it's a burden in my heart that I would have more of a burden for those who are headed to hell, those who are not living right. We need to preach on hell because we are in a society that lives a soft life. And we like a soft life. I do too. I have a soft life compared to many people in the past that I read about. And it is so disappointing. There are so many preachers today that are preaching sinners at their funeral messages. They are preaching sinners right into heaven. You can commit suicide. You can booze around. You can live a life of drunkenness. And you get the right preacher and he'll say you're going right into heaven. Tonight, that is not what my Bible says. That is not what my Bible says. Tonight, as I was thinking about this message and I was praying, you know, I found myself, Lord, is there anything in my life? Lord, forgive me for some of the areas of pride that I have. I don't want the root to take place, so it take me on a wrong road. And I, you know, sometimes we have people in our midst, and people that we believed were faithful, and next thing we know, they walk away and they go out the doors and they go into the world, and we say, what happened? Where did it happen? How did it start? Tonight, it don't have to be a big sin in our lives. But if Satan is getting a root somewhere, we must be willing to pluck it out to save us from this place, this awful place. What does the Bible say about hell? The title says, Hell is a Literal Place. And I'm not even going to try to tell you, I guess, the many different ideas there are about hell. It really don't matter. We just want to look at what the Bible says about hell. It is a place, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41. Then shall we say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And people say, how could God, a loving God, how could he send people to hell? And as I study that, I can understand that question. But you can't have a God of love and a God of judgment. You can't separate those two. You can't say you have a God of love if he's not a God of judgment. And he has shown us his love in the scriptures again and again and again. And he has laid the choice to us. What will you do? To serve Christ, to serve yourself and the world and Satan. In Isaiah chapter 5, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. But we have here in Isaiah chapter 5, this happening here. Isaiah 5 verse 11, Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue unto night to wine and flame them. And the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitudes dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled. And the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. And God that is holy shall be sanctified in the righteous. Hell hath enlarged itself. Hell is forever. In Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and whose face the earth and heaven fled away. From whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away, talking about those that are cursed. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, the righteous into life eternal. In the way we think, we can hardly get our minds around eternity. Forever. What is forever? And I heard it explained this way, I read it somewhere, and I don't even think I have it correct. But it's something like this, that if an atheist was making his point as he scoffed, but he was so right. Eternity is if a bird would take a part of this earth and drop it into space. He would fly back and he'd get another bite and drop it into space and drop it and keep doing that. How long would it take? Well, it would take eons. And after that, you would still have all eternity. You still have all eternity. Forever and ever. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, start reading verse 19. Before we read, sometimes we have accounts of people who partially pass into the next life and they give accounts of what it was like. And I know sometimes it's questioned the validity of those stories. I just want to say that we have a story in the Bible just like that. We have the story of a man in hell and his description of it. I just want us to think about that. Luke chapter 15, 16, verse 19. There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, saying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. To continue to help us to understand that this is a literal place, I'd like to think about point number one, is the condition of the body in hell. Letter A, that the body will still have its five senses. We look at this man in hell. He was in hell and he lifted up his eyes. Being in torment, he looked up his eyes and he could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He could see over into that place of bliss and that place of rest. He could see that man that he had scorned all his life. He could see. He could see, feel the flames. He could feel the torment. He had feeling. He had a tongue. He had a tongue that wanted relief from water. He could hear the voice of Abraham. Could he smell? I believe he could. That's the one sense it leaves out. We look at a number of the scriptures that talks about brimstone and salt. Brimstone is known today as sulfur. It's what we call today as sulfur. And it is a lemon yellow colored stone. And when a plain brimstone is exposed to air, I guess it nothing happens. It's virtually nothing happens. But if that is lit, and if there's a flame lit to that and it is burning, it is like a liquid fire and emits a noxious fumes. And if I have my scientific term correct, it is sulfur dioxide. Now, sulfur dioxide is, if you would read OSHA's regulations on any kind of, when that type of thing is burning, here's what they say. To inhale it is very toxic. It can cause death, can cause severe irritation of the nose and throat. At high concentrations can cause life-threatening accumulation of fluids in the lungs. Symptoms may include coughing, shortness of breath, difficult breathing, and tightness in the chest. A single exposure to a high concentration, can cause a long-lasting condition like asthma. If this occurs, many things like other chemicals or cold temperatures can easily irritate the airways. Symptoms may include shortness of breath, tightness in the chest, and wheezing. If it comes in contact with the skin, it will irritate and burn the skin. Permanent scarring may result. Direct contact with this liquefied gas can chill or freeze the skin. It goes down through giving the symptoms of how what has happened. And eye contact is very corrosive. The gases irritate or burn the eyes. Permanent damage, including blindness, can result. Direct contact with liquefied gas can freeze the eye. And as I read it, I realized that this is part of hell, this lake of fire, that is brimstone. This is, of all these symptoms, this is what will be in hell. To a person who is in hell, all these symptoms will be a reality at one time. And this is just describing a single contact, in a short period of time of contact with this burning sulfur. I get the picture that this would be one of the most miserable physical conditions you could ever be in. Constantly choking, gagging. Burns from the stones. Let it be, the body will be in a state of decay and rottenness, yet it does not die. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I'm going to stop reading there. The worm here is referred to a maggot. The maggot is present where there is dead and rotting flesh, adding to the stench and the terribleness of the place. But the worm never dies. If you have a dead deer by the side of the road, after a while it decays and it goes away and it's no longer there. But part of eternity is that even though there's rotting flesh and the maggots are there, that the body does not decay, does not go away, the worm dieth not, there's always something there to feed on. It's just, yeah, horrible condition. Number two is the mental and emotional state of those in hell. So I feel bad almost preaching a message like this. But brethren, this is going, and sisters, this will be reality for some people. This is going to be reality for a lot of people. And my plea for you tonight is that if you are not right with the Lord, that you would get right with God tonight. I don't want anyone here to go to this place. The mental and emotional state of those in hell. Letter A is the ability to remember the past life. We see the rich man. His mind was clear. This was not a state where his mind was so far gone that he couldn't even live. No, he had clear mental thinking. He was thinking very clearly. If we go back to that chapter in Luke chapter 16, he remembered Lazarus. He knew who Lazarus was. And he knew that maybe he could get a drop of water. And he thought about his brethren in the past. He thought about his brothers that were headed for this same place. And he was coherent enough to know that, you know, they don't want to go here. I don't want them to end up here. You see, his mental condition was clear in that manner. And so, but he was able to remember the past life. And I think one of the most tragic things would be is to remember all of the opportunities we would have had. If you're here tonight and you were raised in a Christian home, you've had opportunities beyond almost many people in this world. Many people. Excuse me. And to look back and to remember that. To remember that night of revivals. To remember the warnings of the parents. To remember the person that talked to you and said, "Are you sure this is the way you want to go? Won't you please consider your ways?" To look back and remember that clearly. Letter B is continual body pain with no relief in sight. It's a known fact that if a person has extended sickness, that their emotions go down with it. You cannot actually be sick for a long time without it affecting your emotions, without it affecting your ability to be emotionally stable. And we're talking about one of the greatest sicknesses that seems like you could possibly get. Filled with worms and maggots and this choking sulfur all the time. And you know, the human body, it has been said that the human body can endure an awful lot as long as there is light at the end of the tunnel. But this is forever. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. There is no relief in sight. Letter C is a constant state of fear. Turn to Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. We'll stop reading there, but there's a number of places. It's referred to the bottomless pit. It's a constant state of falling and insecurity. There's no sure footing for your feet. And also part of that, and that all of that creates fear. Anytime that you're in constantly falling, anytime that you fall or you're in danger of falling, there's fear associated with that. And 2 Peter 2 verse 4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to chains of darkness, preserved unto judgment." The word darkness there, thinking about the chains of darkness. The darkness is so... it's so dense that it is referred to as chains of darkness. In Matthew 22, verse 13, "And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Chains of darkness. It is darkness you cannot get away from. It. Darkness that you can't open a door and go into light. Chains of darkness. The absolute darkness. With the fact of a bottomless pit, must be the most fearful place to be at. There is nothing secure. It is known that the darkness itself, if you live in an area where there's very little daylight, the people in that area struggle with heavy emotional struggles just because we crave light. We crave light. And to be always in darkness and no light. And beyond that is, what would add to that fear is the presence of Satan and his hosts. Number three is the spiritual state of those in hell. Matthew 25, verse 41. You and I are used to the invitation of Jesus to come. Last night we looked at that. Jesus saying, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. He's there. He says, all the Father giveth me, I will in no wise cast out. He is there with his arms outstretched. That's the Jesus that you and I are used to having preached. That's the Jesus you know. That's the Jesus that is preached to all of us. There's another thing to look at, the scriptures say. Verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I think that one of the most devastating things would be to get to the judgment bar of God and to hear those words, depart. The day of opportunity is over. There is never a chance again to accept Jesus, our outstretched hands. The opportunity is gone to be cast away from the presence of God, from the presence of Christ. We move in through the world, and sometimes we get, you know, this world is really dark. There's a lot of evil. And we treasure times when we get together like this with fellow brethren and sisters in Christ. We feel the common union. Our spirits connect. You know, we also know what it's like to be maybe in the presence of evil, and to feel that there's no connection, to feel that you're completely alone. And this is a place where God is, he said, depart. And in the presence of Satan, in the presence of all the holy angels, of all the demons, the spiritual suppression of a place like that must be one of the most desolate things that could happen. I don't even know if I can describe it other than I can just imagine it in my mind of what it must be like. In Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11. I don't want to take something that's not in the Bible and say it, especially on this subject. I want to really stay close to the Word of God. But there are two scriptures that refer to the possibility that one was the rich man looking into Abraham, so he could see Abraham, he could see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. You can look into what he was missing. And there's another account that talks about that as well. Start reading it in verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The smoke of their torment ascend up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark in his name." I'm not saying this is the way it's going to be, but it seems like that those who have rejected Christ, those who made a deliberate decision to walk away, will somehow have to live all eternity with a glimpse of the one that they rejected, the one that they scoffed at, the one that they laughed at, the one that they scorned. Number 4 is, who will go there? Revelation 19, verses 19 through 20. "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Chapter 20, verse 10, I guess we did read that. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Satan will be there. The false prophet will be there. The beast. And it says, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." Those who previous to this time rejected Christ were cast into the lake of fire. "And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Tonight, is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Do you have confidence that it is there? If you don't tonight, I plead with you. Don't take this alternative. Don't say, "I'll get right someday." Revelation 21, verse 8. Who will be there but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The fearful, those who could not trust Christ for their salvation. The unbelieving, those who never accepted Christ for their salvation. There's one thing that is so clear, that if someone does not accept Christ, there is no hope. There is no hope. If they go into eternity and they were willfully making choices against Christ, they never accepted Christ, they rejected Christ, the Bible offers no hope for those who reject Christ. The abominable. And I suppose it could go into moral purity, but the verse in Proverbs says, "These things that the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Murderers won't be there. "Oh, I've never shot anyone." 1 John 1, verse 15, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." The whoremongers, those who have committed fornication, the homosexuals, the lesbians, all those who have been into all kinds of immoral and impurities will find themselves in that lake of fire. The sorcerers, those who practice witchcraft, idolaters, those who worship the things of this life. You know, some of these come pretty close home, don't they?
They come and they knock at our doors. Idolaters. Murderers. Hatred in our hearts. Jude 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Again, those who have filthy minds, those who speak evil of dignities, those who slam the ones that are in authority over them, however you want to put it. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 5. This is what fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become as saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. There's also another verse that I shared with you last night, that I think that you and I are some of the most accountable people. And I tremble at that. I really believe that you and I, of all the people that lived on the earth up to this time, probably we are some of the most accountable people. There are probably very few people that have opportunities like you and I did. And the Bible has some words to say about that. In Luke chapter 12, you know, so many of these things are not hard to understand. They're just, after a while, it just boggles your mind of what people, real people, are going to face in eternity. In Luke chapter 12, verse 47, and the servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whosoever much is given, of him shall be much required. To whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. I don't think there's any question where we are in this tonight. Those who knew not the Lord's will, that's not us. We know. We know what God wants us to do. Number 5, what can we do about this? Last night we looked at a verse that said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Tonight, I'm so thankful that we are still at the day of opportunity. If there's anyone here that knows that if Jesus would come back tonight, that they would not be ready. That he is still, this day of opportunity, he is still there with his arms outstretched. He is still there saying, come unto me. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here tonight and you have sin in your life, you know there's sin there. Maybe you've never accepted Christ, and you're afraid to meet him. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 Timothy 5, verse 24 says, some man's sins are open beforehand, going forth to judgment, but some men's follow after. Tonight, let's have our sins open beforehand. Let's have them open, going before, not following after. What else can we do about this? Jude 22 and 23. And some have compassion. Make any difference? Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Tonight, I'm here to try to persuade you. If there is anyone here that is not ready to meet the Lord, I'm here to try to persuade you that you don't want to go to this place. You don't want to spend eternity without God. You don't want to spend eternity with the devil and his angels and all the hosts and all the wickedness and all the perversion, whatever the wickedest of the wicked, everyone that does not know Christ will be there and in the presence. I'd also like to continue to give us a little hope. I just want us to understand how different this sounds. In John chapter 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Doesn't that sound so different from with a description of hell? Doesn't that sound so much more inviting? Well, look at what the righteous. There's not enough time to look at everything that can be looked at. But compare the state of the wicked compared to Revelation chapter 21, starting at verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. There shall be no more crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. No night compared to outer darkness. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And compared to being with Satan and all his hosts and all the sinners, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Tonight, you can't compare the two. You can't compare the two. And the serious part is, all of us will be somewhere. All of us will one day be in heaven or hell. All of us one day will be rejoicing around the throne or in eternal torment. A terrible emotional, physical, and spiritual state.